by faith entirely apart from any works. God told him one night what he was going to do for him and through him, and he believed God. And Paul quotes the result from Genesis 15:6 in his fourth chapter of the Romans in verse 3 when he says, "What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." And then he applies this divine principle to us. In the fifth verse, he says, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness." What a wonderful verse. Oh, my unsaved friend, you who are still struggling and trying, don't you know God's Word says He wants you just to believe Him, wants you to believe that He's taken care of it all, and just to trust Him, and your faith will be counted for righteousness. Then we saw in verses 6 to 8 next how David also describeth the blessedness of the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works, and to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Isn't that a beautiful connection there? He imputes righteousness to believer, and he will not impute sin to the believer. Now, this reminds us of Romans 8, verses 31 and 33, where Paul thunders, "If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." But now a question arises. Abraham and David both belonged to the covenant race, God's chosen people. Are these blessings perhaps only for them? Well, Paul asks and answers this question in verses 9 to 12 of the fourth chapter of Romans. Let me read them to you. "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised." Now here I think I should explain that the phrase "the circumcision" here is used as a name for the people of Israel. You see, circumcision in this passage is considered, and in many Bible passages, is considered as the religious rite by which God separated Israel from the wicked and licentious Gentiles about them. So in the Scriptures, the nation Israel is often called the circumcision. And so Paul asks in verse 9, "Cometh this blessedness of perfect justification by God, by faith alone, cometh this blessedness on the circumcision only? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness, and Abraham was the father of the Hebrew nation. So does this at all apply to the Gentiles?" Now this is his question. And now hear how he answers it in verse 10. "How was faith reckoned to Abraham for righteousness? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision." This is the first important fact to remember. Abraham was justified, pronounced righteous, before he was circumcised. In fact, considerably before, for while Paul quotes Genesis 15:6 here as proof of the fact that Abraham was justified by faith, Abraham was first justified by faith, originally justified by faith, when as a poor, blind, idol-worshipping pagan, God spoke to him and told him, Abram, this is no place for you. Get out of all of this. Leave your family, your kindred, and follow me. And I have something much better for you. And Abraham believed God, and God accepted him. This is an incident is recalled to us in Hebrews 11:8, as God lists the examples of faith. I should say in Hebrews 11, he lists the examples of faith. And in the earth verse, he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, the fact that God records this incident as an example of Abram's faith shows that this expression of his faith was accepted by God. So Paul goes on to say in Romans 4:11 that Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they be not circumcised, though they be just poor Gentiles in the flesh, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and at the same time, the father of circumcision, to those who are not of the circumcision only, that is, not merely those who are Jews in the flesh, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. You see, believers, whether Jews or Gentiles, have the reality of which circumcision was but the outward sign. This teaches us that justification, imputed righteousness, does not rest upon the performance of any physical rite, not on sacrifices in Old Testament times, not on circumcision under Abraham, not on the law under Moses, not on baptism under John. No, it is received by faith alone. And now that Christ's crucifixion is an historical fact, it rests upon faith in his vicarious death, his finished work of redemption upon the cross. Now, a study like this would certainly not be complete if we didn't compare this passage with Galatians 3, verses 6 to 9. Let me first say this about verse 8. That is verse 8 in Galatians 3. It says here that God, foreseeing that he would justify, or the scriptures, which is put for God, of course, because he wrote the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached beforehand the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, this was certainly good news. Some people think he preached the gospel of the grace of God. Of course not. No, he tells us what good news. He preached the good news to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Wouldn't that be gospel to you? Wouldn't that be good news to you if God said that in you all nations would be blessed? Of course it would. Now then, notice he didn't say here, I will bless all nations through you. No, he said, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He didn't say here, I bless all nations through your seed. No, no, he said, in you, in thee, shall all nations be blessed. Now, beloved, there are three ways in which God used Abraham to bless all nations of the world. First, he blessed and will more abundantly bless the nations through Israel, Abraham's multiplied seed. Second, He has blessed and will more abundantly bless all nations through Christ, Abraham's single or special seed. But there's a third way in which Abraham has proved a blessing to all nations. His whole argument, that is, Paul's whole argument here in Galatians 3, 6-9, is clearly that God justifies the heathen by faith. Let me read this whole passage to you. It's only a few verses, verses 6-9. Galatians 3, 6-9. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen or the Gentiles through faith, preached before the good news to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But why does he say that God, foreseeing this, preached the good news to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed? If he had chosen, that is, if Paul had chosen some quotation which said, by faith shall all nations be blessed, well, then there'd be no question about it. But the quotation he did choose seems at first sight a bit beside the point. First, let's notice that this quotation is part of the first promise that God made to Abraham. It was in Genesis 12 when he first said that in thee all nations shall be blessed. Second, notice again that it does not say in thy seed, but in thee shall all nations be blessed. It's true that Abraham has proved and will prove a blessing to the world because of the seed that issued from him. But it is deeply significant that this original promise holds out blessing to the world through Abraham himself. In thee shall all nations be blessed. But how has Abraham himself proved a blessing to the world? There is only one answer: as God's great example of faith. If there is anything that stands out in the record of Abraham's life, it is the fact that he believed God. Even the Encyclopedia Britannica calls special attention to the fact that the outstanding characteristic of Abraham's life was his implicit and childlike faith in God. In Scripture, he's constantly held up as the great example of faith. Especially is this true of the Pauline epistles. To the Jew who goes about to establish his own righteousness by religious works and boasts of circumcision, Paul exclaims, why, your own father, Abraham, was justified by faith without works. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness which he already had. And he uses the same argument to persuade the Gentile that salvation is by grace through faith alone. It was because God had chosen Abraham as the great example of faith that he said, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, let's consider again Galatians 3, 6-9, and see how simple and consistent it is. How appropriate is Paul's quotation from Genesis? He says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which be of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the good news to Abraham, the man of faith, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, it's most remarkable that God should have chosen Abraham to be the great example of faith. For if you should ask, and I pointed this out a few weeks ago, who is the most honored, most esteemed, most revered man in all history? There's only one answer, Abraham. In this respect, Moses, David, Solomon, and others can't stand in his shadow. And as to our Lord, he ought to be most honored, but he isn't. His name is blasphemed on every street. Without question, Abraham is and always has been looked up to by greater numbers of people than any character of history. The millions of the nation Israel still speak with reverence of our father Abraham. Then there are many more millions of professing Christians, whether truly saved or not, who also consider Abraham as the father of believers. Besides, there are 250, perhaps 300 million Mohammedans who also claim Abraham as their father. How appropriate, then, that God should point to Abraham as the great example of justification by faith. It's further significant that Abraham, God's great example of faith, was raised up so long before Paul, God's great example of grace. Some centuries before Abraham, God was to give Israel, I should say, some centuries after Abraham, God was to give Israel the Mosaic Law. If they obeyed this law indeed, then they would be God's peculiar treasure. But even then, God would show them that obedience to the law in itself could not procure his favor. It was only as they took the law seriously to be God's word and obeyed it because it was God's word that they could gain acceptance with him. In other words, only as an expression of faith in God could the works of the law save them. It was the obedience of faith of which we read so much in Scripture. It was the obedience of faith that God considered, and every Jew could look back to his father Abraham and learn this lesson, for Abraham had been justified by faith apart from works. But while all this could be understood by every member of the Jewish race, the dispensation of the grace of God could not be ushered in until sin had abounded to such a degree that even God's chosen nation joined with the wicked Gentiles in rebellion against God and his Christ. It was then that Saul, the flaming leader of the world's rebellion against God, was saved and sent forth as Paul, the great example of grace. He says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 and 16, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Christ Jesus having shown forth all longsuffering, or might show forth all longsuffering, as a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." So Paul was the great example of grace. But now that God's grace has been manifested so freely, there's all the more reason to accept it by faith alone. Hence Paul, the great example of grace, points to Abraham, the great example of faith, urging all men everywhere to follow in his steps. Hear him plead in Romans 4, the first 5 verses. "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to boast, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness." And in verses 9 and 10, we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How is it then reckoned? when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision. Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 16, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all his seed, not only that which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that faith was imputed to him for righteousness, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again, not for, but on account of. He was raised again because all our sins were paid for by his death. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again on account of our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? My unsaved friend, don't you long for this? If you do, I beg of you, receive it. Receive God's word about it. Approach God in his way. And he says that you must lay your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet, and stand in him alone, gloriously complete. He says, it is not to him that works. You can work your fingers to the bone, but that will never erase one sin. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his believing is counted for righteousness. So then, says Galatians 3:9, those who are of faith are blessed with faithful or with believing Abraham.